Welcome to the Comedians of Wrestling podcast. We are back in a big way. Now, before we get to rocking, talking about the wrestling week, I want to remind you to rate and subscribe to this podcast. Give us 5 stars. We deserve it. We rock. And you rock. And we all rock. And write us some comments and give us your wrestling thoughts. We'll read them on the show. Also, check out our bonus episode. The bonus episode is out right now. Has clips from the Summer Slamtacular we did about 2 weeks ago. We got some fun sketches in there. We got JR's SNL audition. We got Stone Cold Steve Austin and Stone Cold Steve Austin in a what loop. I'm hosting as Hulk Hogan. It's awesome. But give it a listen. It's a fun half hour of listening. Cool. Good. Now on to wrestling. Now every week on this podcast, I have a very special guest, and this week I have a super duper special guest. Not necessarily a comedian by trade, but definitely a comedian of sorts.
Of sorts, for sure.
Yeah.
And I try to be super duper when I can, so I appreciate the intro.
Yeah. My best friend, Jonathan Wodowski.
Hello, everybody. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me on, Dan.
No, I mean, it's a pleasure. It's absolute pleasure to have on here. Now, when I say best friend, I don't go like, this isn't some guy that I met last week that we really hit it off. I was like, this guy, we're in a fantasy football league together. We hit it off. Or like, this is a guy who's, our wives are friends. You know, this is not what I'm talking about. This is a guy I've known for my whole conscious life.
We hit it off in the early 90s.
That's right.
It's a great time to hit it off.
In the early 90s. And we've known each other forever. We went to elementary school together. You were in my wedding party. We go way back. So you get the stage. You get what I'm talking about. This is the real deal. And I think it's interesting because I think about our relationship like way back. You know, my flashbacks of our childhood and sure. Us together, which is unreal. It's like unreal to think about that. You know how long we've known each other. Is that like wrestling was a pretty big part of our existence.
A huge part of our existence.
Massive.
Yeah.
To a place where it actually justifies all the wrestling I watch. I'm like, this is important.
It brings you back to those good old times.
Yeah. And like, so what's your earliest wrestling memory? It can involve me or it doesn't have to involve me.
Wow, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Definitely not the earliest, but certainly Owen Hart. Him going down is definitely a very
That's your earliest memory?
It's not by any means my earliest, but it's my most prominent.
Going down.
I remember going to a pay-per-view at Madison Square. Not a pay-per-view, excuse me. A house show at the Garden. Like right after Flair won the Rumble. I'm like making like 2 signs about like how much I hated Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
I remember my dad like making the signs with me, and we were so excited to like show Ric Flair what a bad guy he was and how much we didn't like him.
Yeah.
I think that must have been like second or third grade at the latest.
I mean, that's the first show you ever went to, live show.
I think so, yeah.
The first show I went to, I don't even know, it was in 91 at the Coliseum. So what, 91, what am I in, like first grade?
91 is first grade
first
for us.
First grade, yeah, nice. First grade, really important. Important time in your life.
You Mrs. know, Boyd.
Mrs. Shout Boyd, out. Yeah. I got in trouble for shooting rubber bands at the... I shot rubber bands at the pine tree. She had like a Christmas tree in there all year round, which I found offensive as a Jew. Oh, man, I just admitted I'm a Jew for the first time. Now we're going to lose some listeners. I went to 91 in the Coliseum. I have pictures of it. It was a house show, but it had a rumble in it.
Oh, you spoke about this on one of my previous podcasts.
It had a rumble in it, and as Undertaker versus Ultimate Warrior. And Undertaker won, which was made me so sad, and he zipped the Ultimate Warrior into the body bag, and I remember being like, he's dead.
He's dead.
And my dad would, like, perpetuate the kayfabe. He would, like, he would be like, yeah, he like, you're probably not going to see Ultimate Warrior ever again. And I would get sad. We went with Eric Wells and Mark Wells.
That's a great combo right there.
Yeah.
My dad used to tell me that he wrestled Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
Wow.
Talk about not breaking kayfabe. Like,
yeah.
Like, you always want to think, like, my dad's like the biggest, badass dude of all time. He can kick anyone's ass.
Yeah.
My dad told me he beat up Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
Like before Hogan
I was born. Like when he was still being like an eligible bachelor in like New York City or like, I guess, Queens, like crushing it.
Yeah.
He was beating up Hulk Hogan and kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah, that's amazing. Your dad also made you that awesome ring.
Yeah, so for those of you out there, I was such a nerd with wrestling growing up that the WWF ring that they gave you, which was cool because it had obviously the steel cage and everything, it was too small. So my dad made me a ring that was like twice the size so I could play with my wrestling figurines with more space.
Yeah. And had like, I remember it being like a little dangerous because it had like nails. The ring posts were nails.
Yeah, we like, not laminated, but we put like some type of plastic over the wood, which the ring consisted of, but... Yeah, definitely not FDA approved.
Well, FDA is big into toy wrestling, right?
Of course.
Yeah, but I feel like you were more into wrestling at that age than I was. I mean, we made me the same. Yeah, it felt like you were, like, I remember I'd come to your house and then, like, I was exposed to a lot of wrestling stuff. You had a lot of merch. You had the video, you had the board game that had the VHS tape.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You remember that? You could watch that?
Yeah. Well, I think also I had older cousins who, like, you know, obviously any little boy, you look up to your cousins, and, like, they were so into wrestling, so I thought they were so cool. So I just wanted to just be so all up in that world, and, like, kind of like you're saying before, when you're 6 years old, like, no one is cooler than the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, it's just such an easy gimmick, like, come out there just... all energy, all steroids, and just ready to fucking rock.
Yeah. By the way, just everyone, this is John Wadowski's a real person. This is not Scott Hall in character. Just give him a hey yo.
Hey yo.
You've always had the deepest voice.
Yeah, so my apologies if it's too low for your podcast listeners out there, but I'll try my best to not mumble for
you. Yeah, no, some people, if you close your eyes, you can orgasm from hearing John Wadowski speak into a mic. Fact. Anyway, moving on. Yeah, but then, like, so I remember we watched wrestling a bunch as a kid. Bret Hart. You have the Bret Hart glasses by your. Well, you moved out here, but
yeah, I have the shades still. The Bret
you
Hart
had
shades.
The purple shades.
It's so much. They're so much fun to wear because no girls care. But if I wear those out, then, like, you know, some random like day drinking event.
Yeah.
So many guys want to come up and talk to me, and I'm like, yes.
How did you get those?
I ordered them online. They were like $35. eBay. Like, I want to say BretHart.com or like. Hitman.com, whatever his official site is.
Those are so great. Those are still so awesome. So then we moved into, like, I think the Attitude Era was the time where everyone was on the same page about watching wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Well, I definitely took a break, probably for like middle school. And then high school came.
Well, we had
hard.
To grow pubes quick.
Right. Once you grow pubes, you got to be like, yo, I'm too cool for this. Like, it's fake. Blah, blah, blah.
Once they're fully grown in, it's disgusting.
Then once you just get rid of your pubes again, like, all right, I'm in high school. I can embrace this, and it's all good.
That's great.
And then, like, in college, post college, I was out again. And now, I mean, I don't watch every week.
Yeah.
Certainly, by any means, I would say I'm definitely more of a casual fan. But I generally now, for the past few years, I will watch the Rumble with some friends. We'll do, a pool for $20 for the Rumble.
Yeah, you get a random number.
Yeah, and it's like the most fun thing ever, obviously. And I wound up watching from the Rumble to the run-up to Mania. And then outside of Mania, once it gets to April or so, it's like, all right, I might happen to watch Raw if I'm flipping channels, but I'm not invested in it.
But you always are, like, keeping tabs on Raw.
You want there's something very, I don't know if the word is nostalgic or just comforting, but, like, for example, when I was watching Raw this week's episode, just, like, you know, you turn it on and you just, like, oh, I'm watching Raw for 3 hours tonight. I was so happy.
Yeah.
It made me so happy to just be like, I am so in on wrestling right now.
Well, I think it's amazing because wrestling never stops. And also, I remember even the times where I took lulls of wrestling, I would refer to it as, like, the news. Like, I always put it on like it's the news.
Right.
If it's Monday night, I was like, oh, I better let's see, like, let's pop into Raw. It's so awesome that it's always there. It's my constant.
Right.
Raw is my constant. But I think why I want to have you in the podcast is because you represent what I call the casual wrestling fan.
Keeping it cash.
Yeah, you're keeping it cash. That doesn't mean you don't have good insight. But it is, like, I remember we were talking about WrestleMania 32 was rolling around. You were like, Triple H in the main event? I'll watch that.
Yeah.
Right. So what I think that, like, a lot of people, like, that I'm friends with are, like, you know, they're basically representatives of the IWC, which is, like, the Internet Wrestling Community. They're hardcore wrestling fans who think
that... Is that a real acronym?
Yeah. No, it's super real. There are people who think that, like, Triple H should never wrestle again, and, you know, Daniel Bryan is the champion. It should be the champion always, and it should be all these indie guys are the best guys, and there's no value in a Kane, whatever. Not the best. I'm not describing it the best, but I'm saying that for you, they draw you in. Like the stunts they do when they bring in Lesnar, you're like, I want to watch.
100%.
Right.
You know, there's something to the name brand value. Like Triple H also still looks great. Like if they were trying to bring, I'm bringing up Ric Flair so much. Like I'm pro Flair, everybody. I can't stress that enough. Pro Flair. But I mean, if they still had Flair or Hogan or, you know, that look horrible, it's like, please, you're killing me, man.
Right.
Triple H looks better now than he ever has before.
Well, he's so in his best role ever.
Right. And like he has like doesn't have that awkward beard anymore. He just he's like being a handsome hunter.
He's actually now he's handsome. He wasn't handsome when he was gimmick was acting handsome.
No, certainly not.
Yeah. So right. So I think like that's why I think your insight's very valuable because it's like you need to hear from people who are like, you're going to skip a pay-per-view if it doesn't have a draw to you. I'm going to watch any pay-per-view.
If the
main event is Sheamus versus Brie Bella, I'm going to watch that. You know? So, anyway.
Do you like Sheamus?
I do like Sheamus, yeah.
Can't stand Sheamus.
Wow. Hot take immediately.
Yeah.
Say it to his face.
I will.
he's large and in charge. What don't you like about Sheamus? I mean, I don't love Sheamus. I'm not a big Sheamus mark.
Yeah. I hope you wouldn't mark out on Sheamus. I don't know. He seems like someone who in real life, his face would bother me. I don't know how to put it. Like, it's just like he's perfect for being a wrestler because that's not a real person I'm looking at.
Do you like, you're like making me think of like the presidential race when people get really caught up in like Hillary Clinton and they're like, I don't think I could have a beer with her. You know, you're like Sheamus. You're like, I don't think I can have a beer with him.
I don't think I can.
Yeah. I don't think you can. Yep, you can't have a beer. Well, let's use this as a litmus test going forward. So okay. let's get into the ha-ha wrestling action. And I know you've done your homework for this week. Ah. Raw. I thought the opening of Raw was super dope. I really enjoyed the opening segment of... First off, they had Foley... talking to Stephanie and just being like, were you behind it? Like, I got to trust you. And it was cool to establish like their dynamic, which has been very unclear up to this point.
So I actually made a note and I said, first impression.
And you have index cards.
Yeah, I'm a real nerd as well, guys. I said, first impression, Stephanie will turn on Mick tonight. Obviously, that didn't happen, but I think it goes without saying one of them is going to, you know, she might be seeing Mr. Socko real soon.
Yeah.
Or, you know, he might be getting a pedigree real soon. Like, that's going to come to a head at some point. It has to.
Yeah, I think that's like, we knew that was going to happen. You knew eventually that Foley and Stephanie were not going to agree because Foley's a mega face and Stephanie is always like, you know, this like heel queen, right?
Do you think she knew Triple H's intentions?
I think ultimately she's going to be in on it because I'm a sucker for what the Stephanie Triple H being in on it the whole time. You don't want them at each other. If they're at each other, I mean, you think you do, but I don't think you really do. When they're together, they're like, when I was at WrestleMania 32, when the cameras went off air, Reigns exited. He was like holding his daughter or whatever. He's boring. The fact is his daughter is the most interesting thing about him. He leaves. And then Stephanie and Triple H were in the ring, and then they rolled out of the ring, held hands, walked up the ramp, and it was on that massive cowboy Titantron.
Right.
You know? Every screen's a Titantron for me. And I was like, I love this couple. I called them, as they were walking down, I was like, they're a royal family. I love that they're always, they support each other 1,000% always.
Well, yeah, they're very, I mean, everyone loves Triple H. He's the man.
People like him now a lot
because
of NXT.
I feel like he has a ton of, besides his amazing wrestling career, he has a lot of street cred in terms of NXT and being an actual behind-the-stage person who knows what he's doing.
Right.
So add that to Stephanie being born into royalty. I mean, like,
yeah,
they're just a very easily identifiable, I don't know if the proper word to use is stable, but like a tag team that doesn't wrestle. I don't know. Like, they're very easy to just...
They're the authority.
Pin down. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Literally.
I think that the cool thing is that, like, I like that there's still looming questions. Like, I love that Triple H did that, give Stephanie and Mick that look on Raw, like, the last Raw, and then now you're like, he didn't show up. You're like, what's happening? You're like, where does Triple H stand? Why did he do this? But in the meantime, there's still the belt. There's still the championship looming where you're like, Seth wants a championship. Roman wants championships. They're screwed over in the belt where you can be it's a perfect distraction from the main question of, like, what is Triple H's intention, which will be revealed at some point. Where does Stephanie stand? Stephanie, like, Mick has chosen, I'm going to believe you, I'm going to have your back,
right,
and he's going to ride that out, but we're like, don't know where it's going to go. And I feel like that's good storytelling, which is lacking a lot. A lot of times, like, what's the story here?
Well, I think it's also a great job of writing because, A, it's so transparent that,
yeah, the writing's,
you know,
great,
that when Mick said, like, if you're lying to me, I can't ever believe that, and he had that whole diatribe about her in middle school, you know he's going to get turned on, you know? Like, just a matter of when. I think also it takes away from, like, you said it a million times in this podcast, how boring Roman Reigns is.
Yeah.
Like, you need to have, like...
They're using him effectively now. He just doesn't talk. He just... His music hits. He comes out.
Well, not effectively enough because he doesn't have the... He still has the vest on. Or what's now, I guess, is a tank top. It's like, take your shirt off, bro.
You're reminding me. I want everyone to sign the petition. There's a petition that somebody made. And then someone wrote a tweet to me that was like, I'm shocked you're not the creator of this petition. I'm shocked myself. I should have made this. Is that there's a petition to get him to take off the vest because it's cheating. And everyone should go online and find that. And you can find it on our Twitter, at COW Podcast, and sign that. Make sure you sign that. Now, I think that, yeah, I think that, well, what did you think of the Stephanie, the Mick Foley story? I really liked it. I thought it was an amazing justification for, like, why he's like, I want to believe that you're still, like, that innocent girl.
Well, I think it's great because...
He's like, I have no choice to do that.
Right. Even someone like me who has been so in and out of the storyline,
yeah,
I know Stephanie is no longer that good girl.
Yeah.
I also know that, let's be honest, she banged Macho Man back in like 86. That, you know, like,
it's important we bring that up.
So, like, in terms of her being this innocent middle school girl, she never was. Or I guess, I don't know. That's a real hot take because Macho Man, if anything, is the bad guy there. And R.I.P. So.
Sounds like you're blaming Stephanie
for
Macho Man. Well, look,
she
sees
Randy Poffo, she can't help herself.
That's unsubstantiated, which is why we can laugh about it. And it feels kayfabe. If it's actually real, then it's a serious issue that we would take seriously. But
of course,
it's a kayfabe. Any situation. Well, I think that, like, then there was that awesome moment with the suspension. A lot packed into the first, like, 10 minutes of Raw, where it was like Stephanie was, like, gotten to her old fiery self. She's like, Rollins came out, I'm going to suspend you for running your mouth. And then Mick was like, no, we are match bookers. You said I booked the matches. I booked the matches. He was wronged, so he deserves a title shot.
I don't know. I felt like
the
suspension, like, you're going to suspend Seth Rollins and give me a break.
Well, like, you knew, like, it wasn't really going to happen, but...
Yeah, but I just felt like you're wasting 8 minutes here. Like...
Yeah. Well, they got time to kill. Oh, so you didn't like it. So you thought... Because you thought it was, like, stupid. Like, why suspend him? I liked it in the sense that I liked it building the dynamic of... It was the first time she believes him, but we saw, like, the first bit of tension.
The power struggle.
The power struggle there. And it was like, oh, this is my thing. And I thought Foley was really good. I really enjoyed him. I like when he was like, Seth... I've never particularly liked you. I thought that was really nice, but it's like, I'm going to do what's right. So he's
right.
Foley's representing what's best for business, actually, and Stephanie's losing her mind. She's showing what she's always said was best for business, but it wasn't actually best for business.
Yeah, her move was 100% personal, and Foley was just like, he's the good guy, straight up.
Now,
until he turns heel, which might happen, he's the good guy.
Now, well, we forgot to play the game of what are you wearing, which is my segment where... I pretend to be walking the red carpet and you ask me what I'm wearing. So let's do it right now because it's going to tie into what I'm talking about right now. So
Dan, what are you wearing?
Oh, yeah. Hey, what am I wearing? Well, right now I'm wearing the current Seth Rollins t-shirt with the bullseye and the SR logo. On the back says rebuild, reclaim, architecturalize.
Redesign, rebuild, reclaim.
Redesign, reclaim. Seth Rollins shirt. Because... Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, I can't take pictures right now. All right, and scene. So let's get back to... So Seth Rollins... How do you feel about Seth Rollins, John?
I love Seth Rollins. Like, and I think something that we agree with very
I'm very much. Gay for Seth Rollins.
Yeah, like I love guys that look the part. Like Seth Rollins, just you look at him and you go, this guy is the fucking man. Like, he was born to be a champion. Like, he was born to have the belt. Similarly, let me refer to my notes here 1 second.
John hitting up the index cards. While you're hitting the index cards, I'll talk about my feelings on Seth Rollins. We're rehashing old things by being Seth Rollins is awesome. Like, I mean, come on here and just talk about he's great. So I try to think specifically, why is he great? The intensity he came out with on that opening was so hot. He felt like so angry and so worked up. And he was saying amazing, amazing lines. I wrote some of them down. He was like, first thing, he was like, for Kevin Owens there, he was like, if you're going to hitch your wagons to this guy, mark my words, and like, you're going to put the new era, I guess I quoted this wrong, but you're going to put the new era, you're going to get behind Kevin Owens? He's like, you mark my words, I'm going to be the guy to burn the new era to the ground. Right. And then he's just like, you guys are going to, you're going to be on your knees begging and pleading in a pile of rubble. Like, I just think he's just.
Yeah. If you don't like Rollins, I don't understand how you like wrestling, honestly. Like, his look, his body, his mic skills, his in-ring skills, his entrance music.
Everything.
Everything is a
total package.
Total package.
He's the new total package.
I hear he's getting a steel plate in his arm just to complete the gimmick.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that Seth Rollins is just the intensity he comes out with. He's just so exciting. It was almost like when he was in the ring, I, like, forgot Kevin Owens was the champion.
So I got to be honest with you about Kevin Owens.
Uh-oh, get into it, Kevin Owens.
Kevin Owens, I've seen him here and there, but I think Monday night was the first time seeing his mic skills.
Yeah.
I was very disappointed.
You didn't like his mic skills. I like his mic skills.
I thought he spoke so subtly. Like, I was expecting just the way I saw him speaking would be someone with such fire, because all I hear about is how, you know, coming up from the minor leagues, like, everyone just loves him.
Yeah.
And you know my thoughts on, like I've turned, I like Bray Wyatt now, but I used to hate him.
Right.
Oh, it's like, dude, if you're a professional wrestler, get jacked, get skinny, take your shirt off, let's go. And, like, you know, Kevin Owens, it's like, no, like, you're too fat, I don't buy you.
Yeah.
But I want to try to give him an open shot, because I know people love him.
Yeah.
And I was hoping, oh, maybe because he's so good on the mic, you can't help yourself. Like, I was, this guy Enzo Amore, wow.
Okay.
That's mic skills. I was expecting Enzo Amore's mouth on Kevin Owens' body.
Yeah. Well, John, listen, I'm trying to do a Kevin Owens impression. He has, like, weird Canadian timing when he speaks. They all do.
No offense to our Canadian listeners out there.
Yeah. He's like, Anyway. Yeah, I mean, look, that's why I want you in here.
Right.
Because, look, I love Kevin Owens. If you go back, watch his NXT stuff's amazing. His first feud with Cena, the first match, like, he comes out, he's an amazing worker. Like, he's an incredible wrestler in the ring in a way where it's very unique. He does everything. Like, he is like a fat boy. You know, he's a little bit shorter than other guys. Like, when I remember the first time I saw him standing next to Randy Orton, I was like, I wish this guy was a little taller. You know, I wish he was bigger. But at the same time, he could do so much because of that. Like, he can do power moves. He can high fly. It's cool. Like, he's a very exciting in-ring wrestler who can do a lot of things. I think also his mic skills are really good, and I think they're going to get even better because he's going to get, like, as the champion, he's going to get better, more heated feuds. He gets to work with Seth. He gets to work with some big guys. I think it's going to bump him up to that next level.
Is my first impression of him having bad mic skills, am I in the minority here? Am I completely wrong?
I do think you're wrong. I think his mic skills are really good. He's cut some amazing promos, especially against Cena. But I do think that as of late, his promos have been, like, he hasn't had an opportunity to do something, like, amazing. Like, he hasn't been in a feud with someone where he gets to really, like, tear them down. Like, against Cena, he really ripped him apart because he was like, you're like this, you're the superhero, you wear all your colors, and I'm like an indie guy and you're Superman. And that, you know what I mean? Like, that worked really well. So he's going to have to find, when he finds an angle, he's really articulate and really, like, cutting. I think right now when he's in the gray area, he's not able to do what Seth's able to do, which is, like, be captivating even when he's in between feuds and stuff.
Oh, I mean, Seth is the most captivating guy out there. Like, Seth could be,
but he wasn't always there. When Seth got the belt, he wasn't not. Like, he developed a lot. And I think Kevin, having this push, I think he's going to get to an awesome place.
I hope he does. Yeah. Because I've seen his matches, everything about him, even without the body. I understand why people want him to have a push, and I get it.
No, I mean, at the casual fan, like, my wife, when Jamie sees Kevin Owens, she's like, why are you, this is the guy you're watching? You're, like, watching pro wrestling? Aren't you supposed to be, like, in a fantasy world? And, like, wrestling's changing in that way. These guys are incredible workers. They're putting on incredible matches, and they're showing, like, amazing in-ring stories that some of the, like, Batista can't do.
Right.
You know?
Batista's old AF right now.
Yeah.
But let me ask you about another guy who I was introduced to this week. Apollo Crews.
Yeah. Jack.
Oh, that's a body for wrestling, my man.
Like, but okay,
he,
but
he has the Goldberg muscles and just like the most formed pecs like that. I wish Kevin Owens looked like that. Like that. That is how I want every wrestler of mine to look.
I won't lie. I wish it also. Like, you know what I mean? I've been vocal on this podcast where I was hoping Kevin Owens would take a little break and get in better shape.
Yeah.
And then instead, it's been
shape before as well.
Yeah. And it's been the complete opposite. I was like, they didn't really have a good feud for him. They didn't really know what to do with him. They were actually like, for a while when Seth was gone, they had like Raw was like on his back. It almost felt like it was like, well, Kevin Owens will be there to do a good match. Because we don't really know what's happening, and Roman Reigns is in charge, and he's super boring, you know. And Dean Ambrose never hits for me, which we'll get into. But so I was like, okay, he came into when he was down at NXT. The you know the NXT is a weekly show before it was touring in the Performance Center where they work out and where they train, and he looked better. And right now he's not looking at his optimal self, but I don't think it matters for him. It's marginal because it's like he represents the regular man. You know, he represents, like, he's not a superhero in that way.
And also, his shirt's never off.
No.
But, I mean, I don't know. Is in here, as I mumble, in real life, is he 6'3"? Is he 5'10"?
No.
Like, what's he? What's his actual
he's
body
like our height. I mean, you're a little taller than me. He's probably closer to your height.
So he's
Daniel
like
Bryan is my height, my size.
And that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
But, like, Kevin Owens, a dude I see at the gym, and I'd be like, dude, like, I see her every day. Why are you fat still?
Yeah, but I like that he has the belly because like some of it, he does sentons, he does cannonballs, he does moves that like effectively use his weight in a Vader way. You know what I mean? That I like. What I'm saying is that keep the belly, but still build up those arms. You know.
Right.
Now the argument I've heard from guys is that like it's healthier. I heard that it's like healthier to be in a more to not just like build like a bodybuilder, which makes sense to you. More athletically, you get. You get hurt less when you know, right? Like,
right.
Batista's popping tendons all the time because his muscles are too big to be moving like that.
Well, I don't know how I don't think it's because of the moves Batista did. I'm sure it's because he was putting all types of,
right,
you know, substances into
juice,
his body.
Juice to the gills. No. Yeah, I think you're Kevin Owens. I think, look, he's got the belt, and I hope they ride it out for a while. I think you'll see at Clash of Champions, he's going to have an incredible match with Seth, and you're going to start respecting him as a wrestler.
Oh, I do respect him, and like one of the first things I said to myself when I watched was, this guy is a perfect heel.
Yeah.
Even admitting what I just admitted about how I don't like his look physically.
Yeah.
He plays the role of heel perfectly, like, and he deserves the push. I see why people love him.
So let's get into the match at Clash of Champions. So they have this Reigns shows up, and you forget about him, which I actually thought was really cool. And then they're like, you know what? You're going to wrestle Kevin Owens next week. If you win, you get added as a triple threat. Do you want to see the triple threat, or do you want to see the one-on-one?
You always want to see more people in the ring. There's no question about it.
You think
it.
So?
Yeah. Besides the girls' six-way match, like, just who needs that? But we can get to that later.
Yeah, yeah.
No, of course, like, Reigns, and I've been very anti-Reigns because they just pushed him way too hard. It's just like, He's not ready to be there. Reigns should be an IC guy. Like I've been saying, the IC needs to get brought back to prominence. If Reigns and Miz and Ziggler were in this type of feud, that's awesome for the IC belt.
But now he's established heavyweight at this point.
Right.
Whether we like it or not,
right.
When I see Reigns, I'm like, all right, he can main event. Like, it works. If they push a guy who's that big and they keep having
right.
him. And the other thing about Reigns, he's a good wrestler.
Yeah, and I have no problem with... You know, he's a heavyweight guy. You might as well make it a
three-way. But you'd like to see the triple threat.
Yeah, the triple threat is just, you always have, there's more opportunities for shenanigans when you have three people.
No, and WWE's been really working the triple threat for me. Like, I really enjoyed the for a while, I remember I heard The Rock say that, like, one-on-one is the way to go for the main event at Mania. And I was always like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, like, one-on-one is cool because then it's like feels like a boxing match. And then I started feeling like, no, fuck it. This is wrestling. It's above, like, one-on-one. It's fake. Like,
right.
With three, it's awesome when you forget one guy. You forget it. Like, Lesnar's down for a half hour.
Yeah,
and then
he comes
back
gets a pin, and the match is over. Like.
Yeah, so I love the triple threat because it perfectly works what I like about wrestling, which is that it's fake.
Yeah, 100%. Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah, so at that time. But I do also at the same time want to see, even though I've seen it before, I want to see a pay-per-view main event, Seth Rollins Kevin Owens. I want to see what those guys are capable of one-on-one because I know what Reigns and Seth are capable of together.
Well, I think specifically for this match, I think Reigns needs to turn like ultimate heel.
Yeah.
Like, I guess they're not going to do that.
They're unwilling to do it.
Wouldn't this be the perfect opportunity for him to just, well, I guess him and Rollins, storyline-wise, they're friends, right?
Yeah.
Like, can he just totally just beat the shit out of Rollins, turn heel? They just had the Usos turn heel and make, this is my
I was thinking
world.
That, too, the Usos.
Have the Usos turn heel, which they just did. And have Reigns turn heel and be like, yo, this is our squad.
Yeah.
And, like, just if they made Reigns the ultimate bad guy, he would fucking crush it. But he's kind of in this in-between zone right now.
What if Reigns came out with this is awesome. If he came out with the Usos and, like, you know the Usos have their face painted half?
Yeah.
So he came out with the Usos. Half of their faces are painted. But Roman Reigns comes out in just full warrior paint. Like, the Ultimate Warrior one, he's got the full one. And then
or he does chest paint.
And they go full tribal.
Yeah.
I don't know. That feels a little racist. But at the same time, it's like, I don't know. Maybe that might make him cool. Whatever. The thing about Reigns we're hitting is that he needs a complete shake-up to work.
Right.
And
he
needs
looks
to go heel. Yeah.
He looks the part. Same as Rollins. You look at that guy and you're just like, this fucking guy rules.
Yeah.
Just completely, like, physically, I'm into this
guy. Rules.
But, like,
all right. We got to move on.
Yeah.
We got to move on. So, all right. I would like to see the one-on-one match. And then I think we could save that for later. So, let's jump into I think we should talk about the Sasha Banks thing.
Okay.
So, Sasha Banks, there was a lot of speculation that she was kind of, like, very injured, and that's why she dropped the belt at SummerSlam, and Sasha's taking a lot of hits. Apparently, WWE is a little bit annoyed with her because she says she wrestles at one speed and that she's going to, like, kill herself in the ring. And a lot of people feel uncomfortable watching Sasha matches because she's, like, a lunatic. She wrestles like Daniel Bryan, but as a woman, and it just feels unsafe.
Right.
So they pulled the swerve of the fact that Sasha is not injured enough to stop wrestling and that she's going to keep going and that she's coming after Charlotte. But I just thought the segment was terrible. It was so boring and it just, like, didn't work. Did you feel tricked at all that she was going to retire?
No, I think Sasha Banks is too big of a star. And I'll be honest, I don't, you know. You've touched on this in the past on podcasts.
Yeah.
And, like, whenever I was in high school watching wrestling,
yeah,
if the girls were on, like,
right,
which is so weird, but, like, I want to see the boys. Like, you know, having, like, you know, Sable, having Trish Stratus, hot babes, but, like, love them. No need for them.
Right.
And I feel kind of like a dinosaur now. I feel like it's so sexist in, like, 2016 to be talking this way. But, like, even still, like, I wanted to, because of this podcast, knowing what the push that
I'm into the women wrestling.
I wanted to be all about the women, and I still found myself just being like, get out of here.
You know what? I'll say that you watched really hardcore this week for the podcast, and SmackDown, the women's showing on SmackDown was very poor. Amateurish. The SmackDown specifically, I was like, yikes.
Yeah, and even Bayley on Monday, like, she had some, like, move where she did, like, a sweeping kick around the turnbuckle.
Yeah.
That looked so amateur. I was just like, this is all this awesome women's matches that you've been talking about?
Yeah.
I was shocked.
Yeah.
Very disappointed.
Well, I think Bayley's a really good wrestler. I mean, there's some matches that I'll send you that you should check out. Like, you should check out Bayley Sasha from NXT Brooklyn SummerSlam last year, the first one. That match is incredible. Well, definitely the match of that card, one of the matches of the year. The real thing is this, is that... Let's stick to the Sasha segment, and then we'll talk about female wrestling in general. But the Sasha segment, she sent out this tweet that was, you shouldn't settle for what's expected. The boss is going to be on Raw tonight, and I got some bad news. Legit boss always. With a peace sign. A black peace sign. You know, you could choose the skin color. I think that's important.
Of course.
Well, I mean, it was a choice she made. And so I appreciate the diversity in emojis. But I think that... and then it was like, okay, well, I guess she got hurt. So it's like, oh, is she coming out to retire? But it didn't feel believable. And then she came out and gave this whole spiel about, like, yeah, I went to the doctor and she was talking about women's movement. And it's like, this is what needs to stop. We need to stop talking about the Divas Revolution. And we need to stop acting so self-important and just have awesome matches. Like, sorry, I loved it. When that happened, it was awesome. I'm all about the female pro wrestling. But it's like, she comes out and she cries all the time. And it's like, it feels a little at this point, like too self-congratulatory. It's like, just act like the male wrestlers don't do it. Just come out, have awesome stuff. Also, it was like, okay, oh, I'm just kidding. I'm going to wrestle. I'm coming for Charlotte. It was like, well, they need to, if you want to make this, you need to establish it more. Show me, like, that tweet was like, I was like, I don't even know what that tweet means. Show Sasha in the hospital or something, or like, show, it's like, let's even talk, be like, Sasha's, her, you know, her medical health is in question. I don't know. At the same time, this is being overused. They did it with, like, Mark Henry did a fake retirement. You know, Flair did a fake retirement. I'm used to getting the swerve on that, so I was like, I don't know. Just come out. I don't know. I was so bored. Actually, the crowd, someone screamed boring, and you could audibly hear it.
Yeah, I remember being extremely bored by the whole segment. I remember thinking when Sasha was going on about how we did it. We have the women's championship now. No more Divas Division. And like that whole speech she went on.
Come out and act like a boss. Wait, John, let me just say one thing. You come out and act like a boss. Like, you keep coming out and like almost breaking kayfabe to be like, women's wrestling is moving forward, and it's like almost like a lot of speak as opposed to action. It's like, come out and just be like, I'm a boss. You thought I was hurt. I'm not hurt because I'm the best, and like, that's the deal. And show me what it means to be like a boss. Instead, she comes out and she is it's almost like she's breaking character too much, where like Charlotte works really well because she's full on heel, full on flair. It works.
Oh, this is something I wanted to bring up. Yeah. Kind of switching gears a little bit.
Yeah.
Natalya is one of the hearts.
Yeah.
But she's a heel.
She's Jim the
Evan Lightheart's daughter.
Lightheart's daughter, yeah.
Love it. They need to put a goatee on her and let her just fucking rock.
She should have a goatee.
But, like, shouldn't anyone with the last name Hart just be, like, the biggest face ever from the start and then turn heel down the road?
She's always like a face. She just became a heel. It was very, very recent. Yeah, it's actually post-draft she became a heel.
All right, because I was shocked to find out that a female Hart was around and that she wasn't a face.
Right. I mean, so here's the deal. I said this from the draft. The split of the Divas division was a massive mistake. All the Divas should be on Raw. But there's not enough. The division is not deep enough. There's five good workers who are women in the company. That's not counting Paige, who knows if she's coming back. Del Rio announced he's not coming back after suspension, so we're not going to see Del Rio again. They're dating. She's like 22. He's like 40 and has three kids. Whatever. I'm not judging, but it seems like
doing the reverse meme.
It does feel like he, like, is leaving the company, and, like, now she's gone, and she's going astray, and it seems a little sad. I hope I'm wrong. It's just what it feels like. So you have Nikki Bella, who I think is a good wrestler.
No doubt about it.
And I think she's good on the mic, and she's a Bella with a lot of power in being a Bella. You have Sasha, Charlotte, Becky Lynch, and Natalya. And then the rest of them don't have enough to really to warrant a division. There's going to be two women's belts. I understand the fairness of both, but the division is not deep enough.
Well, I think all of it is about just, I don't know what the proper term for it now, but like, you know, the Attitude Era, like what this like blending reality era. I know that's not like the proper.
Right now it's called we're in the new era.
Right, but the new era represents where like you're blending reality and the kayfabe portion. And like WWE just never want to have people say that they're not equal towards women. They never want to have a steroids, what's the word? A steroids like disaster again, like Chris Benoit or anything. Like they need to.
We're not allowed to mention him on the podcast. Oh. We're gonna have to edit that out. No, I'm just kidding. No, we mentioned him all day. We encourage people to watch.
Chris Benoit. I'm not even gonna make the joke.
No, stop it.
It's just for them. Like, all right, we have 3 hours on Raw. We're happy to waste a segment with what's her face, Sasha Banks, talking about diversity because they want to show people we're doing everything the right way, like a real corporation, and like it's not the Wild West anymore, and like everything with Connor's Cure. It's amazing,
right?
But there's a big PR element to that also, where people say, "Wow, WWE, they represent how a company does things the right way."
Yeah, but even the Connor's Cure thing is like all frosting and no cake. It's like show me what the money has done. Like
all frosting, no cake. I never heard that before. Is that possible? I love it.
Yeah. You, it's a big. It's actually like a big comedy term.
Oh.
It's like I use it, you know, for improv scenes and stuff like that. Zig knows.
It's delightful.
Yeah. So yeah, but anyway, so I think that, you know, we can talk about it forever, but it's like the division's not deep enough. The women, the writing for the women is not there yet. It's a little self-congratulatory, like I said. Sasha, she needs to stop crying and start being a boss. Like, come out, show me what that means. I don't even know what that means. Like, sometimes she talks about, She's on the. I love Sasha. She's awesome. I love balls out. She is. She's gonna have a nice short career because she's gonna
Snoop
kill herself in the ring.
Niece, right?
Niece. She's Snoop Dogg's niece.
Love it.
Yeah. And she came out with Snoop at Mania. She's awesome. I want to reiterate that I am a massive fan. I just would like her to define what boss means a little more in the ring. She said, like, one time she was in commentary and she was like, I'm going to be hanging out with, like, Jay-Z and, like, a lot of just, like, I was like, is that what being a boss means? Like, no. Being a boss means, like, you kick ass.
Kind of what being a boss is.
Yeah.
I get it.
But anyway, she is a boss in the when she wrestles, but I'm saying, what does boss mean when she's on cutting promos?
Right.
Anyway, and I don't know why it was Dana Brooke. I was like, let's see her do it to Charlotte. Let's have Charlotte come out. You want to tell us, have Charlotte come out and just be like, you know, maybe Charlotte for a second puts her guard down and goes like, you're a worthy competitor. Like, you know, as much as I hated you. And then she gives her the bank statement. It's like, right. Why not do it to Charlotte? Why did Dana Brooke? Anyway, cool. Let's move on. Talk about, let's jump around a little bit. Let's talk about AJ Styles, Dean Ambrose. How you feeling about AJ Styles?
AJ Styles, for me, so I was someone growing up, I was all about WWF, WCW, fuck the other
TNA.
Yeah, just like I'm a WWF guy through and through.
But in Attitude Era, we knew who AJ Styles was.
Yeah, so like I think over the years now, I've always just been like AJ Styles. Like it's like when your ex girlfriend's dating some dork, and you're just like, oh, all right, AJ Styles, like have fun with her now, whatever. Like,
oh, that's so funny. You know? That's
and that's what TNA is to me.
Yeah,
respectfully, but like I totally get why he's getting a push. Of course I do.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he's a heel, but I guess I get it.
I think everyone is surprised he's a heel. He's running with it really well, but I think everyone's surprised the manner that he became a heel.
I don't like his dumb beard. Like, that bothers me. Like, yeah. As you can tell, I'm very into the visual aspect of how
wrestlers
present themselves. That's,
I mean, look,
and AJ's
this podcast,
beard bothers me.
This podcast is all about the aesthetics of wrestling. Look, we liked wrestlers when we were kids because we were like, I want to look at them and I want to feel something.
That AJ Styles.
He's got that mom haircut. Great.
Yeah, he has like a kind of like a Jovi, kind of a mom haircut. Yeah. It's like, dude, what are you doing?
Jason Shapiro called out that, friend of the show, he called out that AJ Styles is one of the only, he is the only pro wrestler with long hair who comes out with it dry.
Yeah, it just looks so uncool. Like, dude, like, Ziggler, such a fucking cool looking dude, do your hair like that. Like, I don't know, like, Styles is big enough and he looks cool, but he doesn't do his look the right way.
Right.
So that bothers me. Ambrose, I know someone that we disagree on because everything that I say should make me hate Ambrose. I fucking think he's the man.
Wow. Okay. This is great.
And I know that he had bad technical matches the last few pay per views, right?
Yeah, he's had a lot of bad matches,
which is surprising because like I don't know. He just seems like the I'm a regular dude. I'll meet you in a back alley and I'll fight you and I'll be dirty, but I'm gonna win. And like. That appeals to me.
I'm going
to
meet you in the back alley, and I'm going to fight you, and I'm going to win, and that's why it's going to be.
AJ, I'm going to meet you, and I'm going to shave your beard. It's going to feel amazing. He's in Bridge of the Barber Beefcake.
I don't know what just happened. I don't know what happened. We almost kissed. All right. So you're into Ambrose. I'm a big AJ Styles fan. I think he's going to win the belt on Sunday. I think AJ Styles is going to be the champion. I think this Ambrose title run is going to be looked back as like a failure for him. And I'm not saying he can't bounce back. I think it'll be good for him. He needs to like go back to the drawing board and figure out how to be captivating as the champion. Now, I think they shafted him a little bit by putting him on SmackDown because like he has the WWE Championship belt, but they found a way to make it less important right away.
Well, they also need to make they need to get SmackDown ratings up.
Yeah,
so that's why. I think them putting him on SmackDown was to get people to say, hey. This belt matters. You can't only watch Monday night.
Yeah, the main belt, that whole lineage is on SmackDown, but it doesn't work like that. Like, I immediately think that the Raw belt is the main belt. Like, I'm like, Kevin Owens is the champion.
Well, yeah, I mean, SmackDown, I remember when they made SmackDown, it was all because The Rock said lay in the SmackDown. It was like, this is the fucking coolest.
Yeah.
More wrestling. So I got nothing but love for SmackDown, but Raw's the king.
You come on The Rock's show?
Yeah. Like, it's The Rock show and love it.
Yeah.
But, like, Raw's the king and SmackDown is, like, I don't know, some weird guy in the lineage. The queen.
Yeah. Do you, did you see AJ Cena at SummerSlam?
No, but it was a great match. I know.
Great.
I know that from listening to this show.
AJ Styles is one of the best in-ring wrestlers. He doesn't have a boring move. And like he, like I really, I can't. I was such a not fan of him. I, during that whole X Division TNA when they were trying to crack into the WWE, WCW, like WWF, when they were trying to crack during the Attitude Era, I was like, this is their guy, the guy with the stupid blue hood. I remember specifically being like, oh, F this guy. And now I love him. I think he's so fucking awesome. I love he's wearing the Cena armband. That's cool. That's the stuff I love.
Yeah,
all the
cool
story stuff in general from the draft, the best fallout is they're more the emphasis on story now a little more, where it's like Cena took off his armband, left it in the ring. Now AJ wears that armband. Now Cena's gone for a little bit. It's like, is he going to come back and be like, I want my armband back? Like, I don't know. I love that. He's having other feuds but still wearing the Cena armband. And like beating Cena is such a trophy, like such a prize.
Right.
It was good. I think Ambrose would cut to give him credit, I think he cut a good promo. I think that the problem with Ambrose is like what he's saying doesn't come through in his wrestling. He's like, I drag guys underwater. I get them past their breaking point. He's
that
like,
was weird.
You know, all that stuff. It's like, well, I don't see that from you. I kind of see like a pretty boring worker. You are like almost like Miz type wrestling.
Right. So I'll be honest. The last match I saw of his was Mania against Lesnar.
Yeah, that match stunk.
The match was horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
And everyone has a good match with Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, like it's easy. He's this huge dude. He's such a freak of nature. Like, make it work. And especially, it was no holds barred, if I remember correctly, right?
Yeah, it was a, yeah.
And they missed the boat completely. That match should have been entirely out of the ring.
I think he took one F5.
Right, should have been so much blood. They completely dropped the ball on that
Now,
match.
To be fair to Ambrose, he said that, like, he was met with in the Stone Cold podcast, he said he was met with a lot of laziness by Lesnar. Lesnar was like not taking his calls, it seems like, and like was just like, I want to just do suplex you a bunch and that's it. Lesnar didn't even care that the angle of hardcore. He's like, I don't want to do that. And so, and then also WWE was like, you can't do blood. Like, this is the biggest mania of all time. Like, you can't, we don't want you to bleed.
Huge mistake.
Yeah. So at the same time, it's like, all right. So he was, so I gave him a pass there, but it's now he had a bad SummerSlam match with Dolph Ziggler, who's one of the best wrestlers in the company.
Love Ziggs.
Especially in ring, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, I don't know, at this point he's at, and then he had that terrible match with Jericho, and Jericho has some pretty good matches recently. I mean, he's older, but
I hate to say it, because I'm a Jericho
You're
guy.
Over Jericho.
Jericho's entrance after the Y2J clock, like his entrance into WWF was, still to this day, I love it. I'll do a YouTube deep dive, and I'll be there, and it's the best.
I'm watching that at least once a year.
Yeah, it's amazing.
With The Rock in the ring?
Yeah. You come on your Rock show, don't introduce yourself. Yeah. Oh, it's amazing.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
Like, Jericho is my guy from day one, but I look at him now, and it's sad. Like, the exact opposite of everything I said before about Triple H.
You think it's sad?
Like
Jericho. Because he looks bad?
Jericho, he has, like, the awkward, weird, like, French goatee.
Oh, I love
it.
I think it's so funny.
He doesn't, like, wear pants. He wears shorty. Like, he wears the bikini. Like, his body is, like, concave. It's just, everything about Jericho is just, like.
He's got the dad tits.
Jericho, like, Jericho peaked in high school, when I was in high school. that's what it is.
That's okay.
Like, it's just Jericho, sorry. Like, if we go back to the high school reunion right now, Jericho would be like, all right, dude, you still live in Searingtown? Like, get out of here. Like,
at the same time, I know what you're saying. I agree. I would say this, is that I try to not be ageist. I try not to, like, knock people for getting old, especially because I'm getting old. But I think that, like, I think at the same time, it's like, he's more of a comedy act now, which is cool. I do think that the cruiserweight division is coming out. Like, I think that would be a cool zone for him to live in. Like, I don't know if he can keep up with those cruiserweights. Like, have you watched any of the Cruiserweight Classic? I feel like you haven't.
I
do
don't
it.
Think so. Okay.
We should get together and watch it.
I'd love to.
It's on the network. It's a date.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll just be like, me and you watching wrestling is just like, what is it? Like, we have to, like, act it out. It's just like, nice. Look at this guy. Good body.
Yeah, it's all. Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I like that.
It's all just South Park. Nice. Without guys' bodies.
Yeah. Look at this guy. Nice. Yeah.
Those delts are looking good.
Nice.
Nice.
He gets more pumped up as the match goes. that's the blood flow. But I think well, Jericho's more of like a comedy act now. He did have, because he had that like really funny line. He said, he told Kevin Owens, like, you're the longest reigning champion.
That was great.
The longest reigning universal champion.
7 days, yeah.
Yeah, that's
but
great.
But Jericho should just be, he should be an announcer at this point. He has to get out of the ring. He has to stop being shirtless.
Yeah.
Just be part of the company, but don't be a wrestler.
Also, here's something I want to say. I mean, there's so much to cover. Jesus, there's so much every week now. But it's just SmackDown used to be a throwaway show. Now it's a whole other show. But anyway,
right.
Let's talk about the New Day. New Day's amazing. You love New Day, right?
So New Day, the first time I saw them, I was like, who the fuck are these clowns?
Well, like, they were terrible at first, but...
And, like, everything about the gimmick with, like, the unicorn...
Oh, yeah.
I want, like, if I was describing wrestling to myself, I would expect me to hate them. Can't do it. They're great.
No, they're awesome. And they're really funny, and they're awesome. The thing is like, and their energy is awesome. Whoo! Whoo!
Yeah, they're great.
They're awesome. And they find a way to do it where, like, you're talking about Enzo and Cass. I'm very tired of Enzo and Cass, which we'll get into it, I'm sure. But my main point about New Day is, like, Big E, it's time for Big E to be a heavyweight. It's time for that is a stable. I don't care if they have the tag belts. They can drop them, keep them. Doesn't matter. There's three of them. Big E belongs to be in title contention. He is awesome.
They could do what Demolition used to be and just have them fight individually and this tag team as well. They don't need to break up the stable.
Yeah. Demolition, your go-to tag team.
Well, yeah, I'm a crush guy.
You got a crush. Mr. Fuji. Rest in peace. R.I.P. Mr. Fuji.
R.I.P. in peace.
Yeah. I think, like, Big E, there's just no other comments to make there. He's jacked up. He looks the part of a heavyweight. He's part of New Day. They're all funny together. Like, he's a pretty good wrestler. I don't know. I mean, like, I don't understand why he's not in the mix. In, like, I don't know why they had a four-way for the belt. Why, like, you know what I mean? Like, why is Big E not part of that? Well, they can also do, now with the brand split, there's a lot more TV time. They can also have them do, like, a tag segment. And then, I don't know. I know he's coming off injury, so that might be part of it. So, whatever. I don't know. I hated that Old Day segment. I thought it was terrible.
That was unwatchable.
So unwatchable.
Unwatchable.
Maybe the worst segment in recent memory. Like, so unfunny.
You know, it was awesome when you used to have, you know, like, DX would do stuff like that.
Yeah, they bring out the little people.
Yeah. This was just so unwatchable. Like, it was just, come on, like, next.
The jokes were so bad, and it went on forever.
Yeah.
And it was like Old Day. It's like not insulting to have young people. If they were actual old people, it might be funny. But it was like, what are these? Who are these guys?
Right.
I don't know. It was terrible. Anyway,
American Alpha. I loved.
Well, okay. American Alpha.
I introduced them the first time last night.
So that's another example of, like, great, captivating wrestling television. American Alpha is awesome. They had the best match of Mania weekend. I was at NXT.
Right.
Like, they opened it up.
Yeah, you could tell that they have great flow. Like, the same way the Dudley Boys.
Yeah.
They work together as a tag team so well. You could tell the moves they did were just awesome.
They're both incredible athletes.
And they look like a mix of American Gladiators and the Steiner Brothers, like, from the 80s.
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to like those guys so bad.
They're amazing.
I'm all in.
And also, the booking was so awesome. So, like, American Alpha, they're brand new. They don't need to win the belts the second. They had them come out. They get over. They squash the Usos. Usos cheat. It backfires. They lose in 30 seconds or something like that. Amazing. And then Usos heel turn and take them out. Now American Alpha is out of the tournament because Gable's unable to compete.
Right.
So now the tournament's between Rhino and Heath Slater. I love that.
Finish your thought and I'll respond.
I'm saying that tag team, I love Heath Slater. I think he's so funny.
A little bit too ginger for me, but it's okay.
Well, I didn't even love the segment last week, but I love the Rhino Heath Slater tag team, and I think they're really they're just working.
The problem with Rhino is that he's so fat.
Yeah.
Like you know
Jesus.
What I mean?
Yeah.
No, it's like,
but he's a rhino. That's his thing. He's built like a rhino.
No, but 15 years ago he was built like a rhino and it looked awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I like remember making a note that it was like, he looks like a girl when you're swiping on one of the dating apps. You're like, oh, is she fat? I'm not sure. Then you meet her, and right away you're like, whoa. Like, sorry if that sounds misogynistic. I don't mean it for
It sounds misogynistic. It sounds misogynistic because it is, but
he's just so fat.
You're laying out the point for me.
It's like, dude, like, lose 60 pounds and have the same exact body type.
Well, I think he's at the end of his rope here. He's just in there, like, working. Because right now they brought up Mosh and Thrasher. They brought up the Headbangers last week.
I saw the Headbangers in the graphic for...
Because they're trying to fill up, and they have all this... they have a lot of jobber talents now, which is very fun. They like Strowman and Nia Jax just jobbing every week. Jobbing somebody else. I think that's... It's like, because they split the brands... They need to fill these holes. So I think that's part of why Rhino's there. Like, I don't think he's not a full-time talent. It's like the Dudleys.
He's running for, like, government.
Yeah. He's like a Republican in Vermont or something. I don't know. Probably New Hampshire. I don't know. Anyway, so, but I'm saying, like, now Usos are up against, now it's the Hype Bros against Rhino and Heath. So like we're, and then like now you have a beef with the Usos and American Alpha. You know when they're going to get the championships, but it's like not right now, and it's because they're wrong. They still seem strong. Right. Just cool. I just dug all that.
Yeah. And it's very obvious, like, American Alpha is going to have a title reign for the last while, and then they're both going to be very strong independently as well, I think.
Yeah, definitely. So let's look into this card. I think, actually, let's bring up one quick thing.
Sure.
Before we get into this. But CM Punk has a UFC fight this weekend.
Is it actually happening?
Well, I heard that I have a source that said that, like, knows UFC people or whatever. And said that I honestly don't know how strong this source is, but has said that they might he might be dropping out of the fight. But it's already Wednesday.
Because all I know is that every
Thursday for you,
like every few months, I'll see like a link online that says, you know, CM Punk match postponed. I personally don't think it's real. I don't think he'll ever fight in UFC. Like,
yeah,
where was this match 6 months ago? Let alone.
Yeah,
you know, since or before that, like it's just if he fights, I don't know, he'll probably get his ass kicked.
Yeah,
right.
I think he's gonna get his ass kicked. I'm just waiting for this to happen so I'll come back to wrestling. I'm like, let get beat up in the octagon and then let's see you back wrestling again. It's like I get it. You want to like have your little, you've earned like your make a wish of like getting beat up in the octagon. It's fine. He's gonna get destroyed. Now, one of my buddies, Jason Shapiro, friend of the show, he's probably the most knowledgeable MMA guy I know,
sure.
And he was saying that like. He was looking into the guy he's fighting, Mickey Gall, whatever. He's fighting this guy, and he was like, oh, this guy has a win in UFC. So that's why it's that's why it's like, oh, he has a win. So it's like he's not getting a fake fight. He's getting
a big
fight.
Real...
But he was saying something to the effect that, like, this guy, all his wins are, like, pretty amateur. And the guy he fought has, like, almost no – that guy beat has no experience. He was thinking that it might – the whole Mickey Gall character might be a work because he called out CM Punk. You know what I mean? So he's like, oh, they might be like feeding him someone who really is not that good.
And this would be amazing if this was all a play by Vince.
Right.
Like, like CM Punk's been injured for the last like year and a half, some really bad, like, whatever injury he has. And it's just him just getting back at UFC
yeah.
with a straight up just like octagon style kayfabe.
What's the pay-per-view this weekend called again? Backlash? Yeah, Backlash. Yeah. Let's look up this card and let's give some predictions before we round this out.
Right,
unless
cool.
John, did you have any other points you didn't get to? I mean Enzo. You were gonna talk about Enzo.
What those A plus mic skills. Enzo, everything about that guy.
Definitely.
Is captivating. Like we said before.
Just, yeah.
That guy, I don't know if he's big enough to be a heavyweight champion.
Definitely not.
But like that
Cass is definitely.
Oh, Cass is enormous.
Yeah.
But like Enzo straight up is a dude that like if the IC belt mattered, like I would want it to, he should be the IC champ because he can charisma for days. He can be on the Today Show. He can do everything you need promotion-wise outside of the actual Raw and SmackDown events. He's just so likable. He's the fucking man.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're New Yorkers. We're like, so like, we have a connection to him, and he's like a real New York guy. Like, he apparently, like, doesn't, like, you know, he's not, obviously, he's gimmicking it up. But he lives the gimmick pretty hard. Like, that is kind of the guy he is.
Right.
You know, so I think that's really cool. I think that I hated the way he opened up SummerSlam. You know, you heard that on the other podcast. Like, it was like a lot of just like Biggie Smalls mad libbing. Like, just being like, you know, like, this city never sleeps. And like, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. I was like, get out of here. But he was in Brooklyn trying to get the crowd hyped. So it's fine. They did let him lose. They did lose against the Shining Stars or whatever on Raw. And it was like, all right, that's cool. They keep making the Enzo Cass lose, and it doesn't matter. People just still, like, if they come out, it doesn't affect their power at all. Enzo's definitely awesome. I'm a little tired of it. Like, I thought that whole, like, his acting was, like, perfect on Raw. Like, he had this, like, terrible thing about, like, oh, we're making a baby or whatever. I even forget what it was.
Oh, yeah, and he passed the baby off to someone in the crowd.
Yeah.
So this is new for me, and I was like, this guy is unreal.
Right. So I think, like, if you saw that, I was like, he sold it so hard, even though it was, like, so dumb. He sold it so hard. It was great. I just think, like, it's a little bit of, like, he's going to – I get it because it's a live show. I think this is something that affects wrestling. It's a live show. So when you come and you see Enzo, you want to hear him go, like, my name is Enzo Amore. Like, you want to see him do the whole spiel, and you want to see him cut him promo every time. I think there's power in him doing it only every once in a while. And, right, like, how, like, you know, Brock Lesnar, when he shows up, it's a big deal. There could be a little bit of that, but he's coming out every time where it's like, to me, I'm getting tired of it.
Right.
And I don't know. I want to keep Enzo interesting. Yeah, cool. Anyway, so and the other thing was Daniel Bryan Miz stuff. We talked about it last week. I just feel like they kind of blew that. It's like they had something really cool there where it was like Miz and Daniel Bryan had those tension. He just apologized and talking smack, and it was like, I don't have much to say. They confronted each other, and it was about Ziggler. So whatever. Anyway, let's get into these matches, round this out. John, you feeling good?
Feeling great.
All right. All right. Miz versus Ziggler for the IC belt.
Solely based on how Ziggler said, my career is a joke if I don't win, yeah. Ziggler's winning.
I think they're gonna keep it on Miz, unfortunately, because and they can always schmalz it up because with Maurice, but Miz is having a really good IC run. It's just that like Ziggler had like two failed title shots in a row. They're not kind to this guy. I mean, there's just no way to sugarcoat it. They did not let him win. I'm just gonna go with Miz out of guts. I think they just want him to run with this belt. He's doing this cool thing that I think where he's like trying to elevate the status of the IC belt, and I think that's important. And that's his whole pitch, and he just got that heat with Daniel Bryan. I don't see him losing in this belt.
All right.
Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt.
Ooh.
Well, I hate this match. I hate this match just because I know Randy Orton's going over because of that big loss. Like, they need to make Orton look strong again.
Okay.
And I just hate to keep burying Bray, but I think I'm going to go with Randy Orton.
I think
clean win.
I think Bray needs to get the push, so I was going to say Bray. I also know not nearly as much about the history of this stuff as you do.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with Bray because I just think he's someone that... I've been waiting for him to just break out and get that push. So let's go.
Guessing wrestling is a little bit like, you know, I think you're actually sometimes knowing the last thing can hurt you.
Right.
Like I went that logic. I was like, well, Sasha just won the belt. She's not going to lose it to Charlotte again. And then she lost it.
Right. It's like NCAA pools. It's picking by the colors. Oh, yeah.
Whoa, what does it say? Uso and Hyper. Oh, I'm not sure this tag match. I might have had this wrong. Uso or the Hype Bros. Uso Hype Bros. Winner. So that means Uso and Hype Bros. Are going to have a match No, I guess that has to happen at the pay-per-view. And then the winner of that gets Heath Slater and Rhino. So who do you think's winning the tag belt out of those three tag teams?
I say Slater, Rhino.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to say they're going to give it to... I think Usos, because they're going to set up the American Alpha...
All right.
Think they're going to establish that. I could also see them going for like more time, but I'm going to stick with that. Like letting that breathe a little. All right. Next match we got.
Actually, I'm going to switch my prediction and say American Alpha wins that match. They're going to show up Sunday and they're going to be ready. It's going to be a four-way. And American Alpha is going to walk out with the belt.
Wow. Swerve.
Swerving.
Love it. All right. Alexa Bliss versus Becky Lynch versus Carmella. Versus Naomi, versus Natalya, versus Nikki Bella. Now, keep in mind, this is an elimination match.
Right.
So the last person to win this is the woman's champion.
Can I abstain?
Well, I mean, this is a big deal. Yeah. This is the first SmackDown's women's champion. Like, so this is a new belt. So this is a big deal. Like, who's going to win this?
Who was the girl with the crazy fake orange hair?
Becky Lynch.
Yes.
I'm going to go with... Nikki Bella.
I just think that's too expected.
I know, but I think it's the way to go. I think Becky Lynch could use to overcome some like adversity here. Like, you know, like take out Bella. But also there's Carmella. They're setting that up. I don't know. Yeah, I'm just going to stick with Nikki Bella. All right. Ambrose versus AJ Styles. Round this out.
Ambrose, AJ.
Yeah, I think AJ wins the belt here. And I think AJ is going to carry the belt. And... I think AJ Styles, we're going to see AJ Styles, Randy Orton. Randy Orton's going to win, and then we're going to see AJ Styles, Randy Orton. Although they might let this breathe for a little bit, but yeah, AJ Styles is going to win the championship, and he's going to hold it for a long time, probably till Mania.
So he really is the face that runs the place. He's the guy.
Yeah, I really think so. I think his next, he will go, him and Cena, the next match will be
Mania
WrestleMania.
33.
I really think AJ, they're really getting behind him.
I mean, as they should. I get it.
Yeah, could be wrong though. Cool. All right. Yeah. So that's Backlash. John, you want to watch this weekend?
I'd love to watch this weekend.
Watch a little Cruiserweight Classic.
Well, that's after NFL opening kickoff, isn't it?
Ugh. All right. Never mind. I don't want to watch with you. You're talking about the fucking NFL. It was like, anyway, guys, remember, rate and subscribe. Give us 5 stars. Put your predictions for Backlash. Like, get in touch with us on Twitter at COW Podcast. We also have a cool Facebook group going on right now if you want to talk to us in there, Comedians of Wrestling Facebook group. It's public. Join up, baby. Hey, keep watching wrestling. Kisses.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.